The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
And I ask, O Lord, that you will help me to be faithful in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the meeting go as it is written today. Grant every heart faith. Grant every heart understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Today is a good day. The smell of this day is very unique. Amen. We give thanks to God for it. We bless the Lord for His mercies. Amen. And we are trusting Him that even this season is going to be a moment in your life, in my life, of performance of mercy. When mercy is allowed to perform, is a time of empowerment. It's a time of release of power. Release of power. Great power. He said, in the day of His power, His people shall be willing. We are in that season. And the Lord will help us to profit very well. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Prastabani, Tregelast, Shania, Prada, Sigra, Prada, Sabra, Prada, Reka, Prada, Prada, Nika, Brata, Breka, Bratia, Breka, Na, Brata, Brekene, Brata, Bata, Brekene, Brata, Breakini ya brata, brateneke breaki ya brata. Break edene brak, brak break, break a brak ene break a braka. Breakini na kra breke ya braki ya breka. Breka na krege krege prageli kre krege ne kre krere ya kro kra kra kre 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 kro kro kra ni ya kre kre ya cross. Cray, crea, crea no cross, carrier cross, cree, crea, cree, crea, crato, crea, crea racaro, crea, crea racaro, crea racaro crossa, cro, 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 crossa, cro, 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 crossa, cree, cra, cross, cross, cross. Cross, crossa, cria cross, cri, cra, cro, cross, 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 cross. You will cross. You will cross. You will cross. I will help you to cross. You will cross over. You will cross over. I will empower you to cross over. I will strengthen you to leap. I will strengthen you to cross over. You will cross. You will cross. You will cross. Amen. It's clear that we have to move into another terrain entirely. There is a door that we must all pass through. There is a door we must all pass through. And that door is also our key for entrance. I will explain that. Amen. A door has been opened, and that door is the door of meekness. So, it's not just a door you will just pass through. You will carry the shape of the door. You will carry the shape. There is a shape that can pass through that door. Because you need to start functioning in another world. Another world that will require that shaping. Another word that they use is like being fashioned. As a man, he humbled himself. So there is a fashion he required to be functional at the other side. And the Lord is saying to us that he's going to help us. Yeah, there are things the Lord is going to break. You heard breaking. There are things that are going to break. But ultimately, the reason for the breaking, is to chisel out things and then help us to be fit for entrance. So sometimes some fashionings, or I would say design or arrangement for our Lord Jesus, though he be equal with God, he thought it not robbery, but he did what? He humbled himself. So, in a way, that was a fashioning. Jesus leaving that estate, amen. And then accepting that design. That design, accepting it, was the first sign of his humility. So, sometimes certain designs around us, we need to accept it. Our acceptance of that design, of that fashioning, is also the expression of our humility. So, being humble is beyond just what we show. Much more than that is our response. Let me take that again. Humility is not what we show. Humility is our response. Response vis-a-vis something that we have right. Okay, you remember Pastor James used one word. He said meekness is a strength. Did you hear that? Meekness is a strength. So, I said meekness is also having an upper hand and not using it. Or having an advantage and not using it. Amen. Amen. So when he said he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was actually equal with God. But he decided to come down. He didn't use that. If he had used it, he had not sinned. As it were. Amen. So, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Amen. And what did he do? I was made. So it means in accepting, which is humility, there is a making that will also come as a result of your practice of humility. Amen. Amen. Because we were told yesterday, Daddy said, humility is a skill. Did you hear that? So it's also a practice of righteousness. Okay? But the end product, once you use that skill over time, You will start becoming lowly. Are we together? And the end product of lowliness is meekness, which is a nature. Humility is an attribute. There's no way a soul can be meek and you won't be humble. So, meekness sometimes in expression shows humility. Amen. So, meekness is a nature, right? But when that nature finds expression, people can read it. They will see humility. They will see lowliness. Amen. So that's why if somebody says, oh, I know I'm meek. No, there's nothing wrong. You can actually know you are meek. But you don't need to vaunt it. Okay? So if somebody says, I know I'm meek. And I know I'm meek. Okay? How? In my heart. Eh? When you say in my heart, it's not enough. Why? Because meekness, humility, lowliness also has an expression. What that means is that there are also action to it. There is a conversation to it. There is a behavior to it. So it means if you have the nature, you will exhibit the conversation. So one cannot claim to be meek and then your conversation betray your conversation betray what you claim to be. Amen. Why? Because the two must go together. Are we together? They must go together. That's how you see the scripture. We say to bow. Bow is also a sign of respect. Are we together? That means there is a culture to it. There is an attitude around it. So that's how you see that many of the disciples that were very close to our Lord Jesus Christ, you could see that as he was also working on them, their nature was changing, their conversation was also being affected. That's how you could see for Mary that was very close to the Lord, you could see a display at the sepulcher with the gardener. Now, she didn't have to force herself to do that. She didn't look at him and said, okay, she is a gardener. Do I need to honor him? So that thing of honor all men, Jesus crafted it in her soul. Why? Because she saw a gardener and referred to him as sir. And the scripture put it as capital letter. I know what that means. Yeah, that was a gardener. Or to you, could be a gatekeeper. So, now, do you also know that most of the time, our fashioning, which still needs so much of refining and also upgrade, right? Do you know the way you honor people differ sometimes? That's why when you work in a corporate organization, you have to be very careful. Because, ideally, corporate organization teaches pride.
Yes, sir.
It teaches pride. So sometimes ability to separate. And in most cases, if you want to leave it, sometimes people may want to also abuse it. But you are ruled by a different principle that informs why you do the things you do. So you shouldn't allow your environment to break the use of your laws. So you could see that this woman saw. Now, she says, supposing him to be the gardener, yet he didn't reduce, like with this woman, to a measure. She was meek. So what I'm saying is this. You can't claim to have it and won't see it for an expression. Because actually your actions are your fruits. And fruit is a product of the nature. Amen. Fruit is what? The product of the nature. He now said, make a tree good. It means make the nature good. And what will be good? The fruit shall be good. So by their fruit ye shall know them. So it means nature produces its kind. Amen. I want to stir us up so that our desire for what the Lord is saying this season will make sense to us personally. So, for Jesus, if it was fashioned, that means he found himself in a kind of an arrangement and he allowed it. Right? He allowed it. So the scripture says, suffer it to be so, which is also an activity of obedience unto righteousness. Okay? So it means sometimes one of the reasons why we don't accept what is designed around us is a measure of pride. Either we wish it could be different, we wish it could be better, we wish must it be that way. But if we can find grace to allow it to be, that is number one. Now, your reason for saying must it be that way is an advantage, right? Yes, it is. Or in other words, is a right. And because you have that right, it makes you to question what it is right now. That must it be this way. Amen. So it means to a measure you have a right. But then what makes you to not say, okay, though it could have been different, though I don't really want it this way, but if it is the way it should be, I will allow it. You didn't get that. Now, that is the way to fashion many of these virtues in us. Why? Because the same principle applies. Go and check almost all of them. What happened at Gethsemane is also the same thing. He had rights. And let me tell you, when you have rights, they can't take it from you. The only thing they can do is to teach you how to trust and then let it go. How to trust and then let it go. Now, as you do that, I'm going somewhere. As you do that, they are also fleshing up your heart. Our heart becomes fleshy. Why? Because what makes one to stand upon his right is a measure of stone. That's why stone can't bend. Stone has just a fixed form. But when a thing is made flesh, it is malleable. It is flexible. Another word is like, it can easily be entreated. Another word for it is like, it can be windy. So how God fashion hearts, and then a heart that is stony, and they want to teach that heart how to be flesh, is that they are going to be arranging things around such heart and then teach the heart not to go this way. Even though it should go this way, but can you allow it to be this way instead? That thing, once you do it, it breaks something in the heart. That's why it's difficult most of the time. Why? Because when those things come to you, you struggle. You are struggling against a formation. You are struggling against a formation within. Then they are saying, no, we want to remove it. Then you let go, something happens. That's why anytime you let go your right, you enjoy more grace. So now, I don't want to start painting these things thoroughly from the angle of bad, bad, bad. I'm talking about something that are good, good, good. Good things. Because your right, in a way, is also good somewhere. But there is a realm where your right is evil. Now, when you look at the experience at Gethsemane, honestly speaking, if Jesus had said, Father, I don't think this cup, I can carry it. The Father didn't force it on him. It was, yes, you have the right to accept how I want it. You also have the right to reject how I want it. But you also know sometimes we want to suggest to God, even though you want it, but can you do it this way for me? So at Gethsemane, he struggled, but he ended up aligning with the way God wanted it. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. First, he said, let this cup pass over me. That was a struggle. A struggle not necessarily of sin, but of letting go of his right. So eventually when he let go, angels came back and strengthened him. So most times the design around us or the fashioning around us, they are actually carefully put together to form a nature in us. More than ever before, the season we are in right now, it's not an ordinary season. And I will tell you the reason towards the end of the message, if heaven permits. Well, because I am laying the things I'm saying now carefully with the end in view. Don't resist change. Don't resist change. Even sometimes certain arrangements around you could be a bit tough in your own eyes, but it's for a reason. Amen. You remember the experience in the wilderness? When they were taken to the wilderness, just for one thing, to humble them. It's not easy to humble a man, no? Let me tell you, every man is proud. No man is humble. It's not by look or behavior. So before a soul can be taught humility, he has to be led. So the reason for the wilderness, he said, is to humble thee. Number one, not only that, to also bring you to a place where you can discover yourself. Why? Because one of the reasons sometimes, yes, discover, because discovering yourself is also going to help you to be humble. I'm sure we enjoyed the message yesterday of Pastor Alfred. Sometimes our experiences, exposures have added to our height. Our height in the spirit that makes it so difficult for God to reach our core. There's always a sense of superiority. The Lord will clear that in us. Amen. You can't act it. Heaven needs to do works to take those things from us. Let's look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Wow, this is deep. Amen. You know what? Why? Because eventually, the reason why God apprehended you is to end up becoming a savior. Now, I want you to take away preaching. When you hear becoming a savior, you are seeing yourself holding mic one day. No, that's not it. If everyone gives mic, it's part of it. Okay? But you becoming a savior is also called high calling. They want to make you a savior. It means you can save people as Jesus will. But there is a nature that can save. There is a nature that can save. So that nature needs to be wrought in us before we can save others. So the training of righteousness, that's why you can't talk, honestly, you can't talk about salvation. Even death. Death has a throne. That's why it has the power to reign. Life also has a throne. Salvation also needs throne to function. Amen. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace. They might find what? Help. Find mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, how they train you? How they first of all train you to handle throne? Is to teach you righteousness. Why? Because every throne, or you want to use the forces of a throne, number one, they will expose you to the righteousness of that throne. Amen. Now, Jesus was slain. So it means for him to operate the throne of salvation, there was a nature he needed to come into. So all the things he was exposed to as an exercise on earth, all those obediences, they were fashionings. Fashioning for him to conform to a kind of a man that can sit and his nature is compatible with the throne. So, anytime they want to do that, first thing they do, the forces, what woos out of that throne? Those waters are forces of righteousness that comes to you both to wash and also guide. Why? Because water is a shepherd. So they exercise you how to use righteousness. Righteousness. That's why you see, he said, thy throne is established in righteousness and truth. So how they see you, if you are actually qualified to sit, is that how do you respond to the righteousness of that throne? So anytime the righteousness of any throne, why? Because when you say the kingdom of Christ is also a throne. Yes, because every kingdom has a throne. In other words, every kingdom has a nature, right? So there's also what is called the righteousness of Christ. So it means if they want somebody to sit on the throne of Christ, I'm just going to just help our mind, right? Okay. Sit on the throne of Christ. When it says sit on the throne of Christ, it means rest. So what I mean is that that nature has been fully formed so you can rest there. The thing has settled. So what they do first is they train you. They train you with laws. Well, because that throne has been before you were born. But they want you to operate it. Now listen, listen. It's not as if I'm talking about something somewhere. It means at the end of the day, by the time you embody all those laws, you have also become that throne. So when those forces come, the forces of that righteousness come, and then you are obeying it, they are fashioning you. The thing is shaping you. It's also giving you a form. It's carving in you an image. What needs to break will break. Yeah. I said by the mercy of God we'll cross over. Yeah. Now, in answer, being made so much better. Don't forget that word, being made. There's no way you can be made without obeying righteousness. So, that skill of humbleness, amen. Now, look at it. When Jesus was led to, when he got to Jordan, you know, he was obeying all the instruction of the Father. Not only that, the Father was also carving an image. Why? Because they wanted to kind of build a nature that is higher than the heavens. Undefiled. Harmless. Harmless. So they were working a nature in him. They were working a nature in him. When he got to that place called Jordan, if Jesus had said, John, you can't baptize me. There's also a law in the spirit that acknowledges that order and ranking. That means he had an advantage and a right. Now, John knew about that right, so he used that door to talk to him. He said, I'm not worthy to do this. He now said, suffer it to be so. Allow it that we may fulfill all righteousness. It becometh us. It means that as many. That's why you see, even they themselves, they use that law. That's why anytime they want to come to us, they come low. They have to let go of their rights. Say, hardly will a man even die for another man. Talk less of a man dying for a sinner. But a law wires them the way they think. They are quick to always let go of their rights in order to pull you up. So when he got to that place, he said, so far it will be so. Now, do you think Jesus knew that immediately when that thing, you know, will be done, something will rest on him? Or you think he was looking at a manual? He was just obeying laws. So you don't know when a thing comes. Heaven may not tell you that thing that we want you to let go your right for is the key for all the things you've been built up for. On that day, may you not refuse it. Yeah. Now, Jesus was just obeying laws. If God, they said, suffer it to be so. It means to, now, do you think, when he said Jesus suffered, what are you thinking about? He wasn't a sinner like us. He was a man in glory. So that thing of letting go was also a suffering in the flesh. Now what they're asking to let go is not even glory. It's not. But to them, they know that it can't for you. So they are counting as your glory, no problem. But in the real sense, it's death. But because of the weight it carries in your heart, they also equate it to glory. Because if you can fight them over that issue, then it has worth in your sight now. Only that with growth, you now come to know that it's actually... But let's leave that one. But when he got to that place, he said, so far it will be so. What happened when that baptism took place? A dove. Do you know what I mean, dove? When dove comes and rests, the dove didn't just come and go. The dove came to rest. To me, this is the beginning of an armless man. Why? Because dove, aside purity, is also a sign of approval and harmlessness. It means this journey is beginning well. But do you know, if at that point Jesus had said, I think what you are saying, John, it makes sense. I actually wanted to try you, whether you would tell me otherwise. The Lord will help us to be less conscious of our rights. Amen. Now, just look at it. Jesus displayed those things all through. That's why when you encounter, any faith you encounter has its righteousness. Eh? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For what? It is the power of God unto salvation. Yeah? To what? To everyone that believe, to the Jew and also to the Greek. Uh-huh. Therein, it means there is a content there of that faith that stands as power. It's what causes the turning. So anytime God wants to turn you, or he wants to show to you power of what you have believed in, he will bring to you forces of righteousness. So as you obey righteousness, that's why thrones are held by righteousness. So once you obey righteousness, you are tampering with the forces of that throne. That's why when you obey righteousness, you're actually disengaging from unrighteousness, which is also another throne. Now, look at this place. Amen. Amen. The Lord will help me to put it together. Amen. You know, the whole thing is just in places. Now, look at, you know, say, being made. So they are teaching us how he was made. So it means Jesus obeyed righteousness that are higher than that of angels. Well, because angels also have their own righteousness. Do you know angels are meek? They also have their own meekness. They have their own meekness. But only that the manner of it is not like that of God. But they have it. Why? Because God dwells with the meek. So for God to have them around his throne, then there must be something they carry that makes God comfortable. It's not in the scripture. He said, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the place of my rest? Now, you're not talking about a contrite spirit. Is that not so? So, if for now, even temporary, if he's staying with those beings, it means to a measure they are displaying that nature. Only that it's not totally comfortable there. Why? Because he wants man to carry that very nature that he carries. Now, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, or excellent nature, or excellent identity, or excellent virtue. And also, for which of the angels said it at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all angels of God serve him, worship him. And of the angel, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his minister a flame of fire. But unto the Son he said, thy throne, thy what throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Why? Because thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has built you up with the oil of gladness above thy fellow. So, now, when you say he has anointed you, it's not as if, no. When you say anointed, don't look at it from the angle of God pouring oil on him. It was a fashioning of the very oil that God carries. Why? Because in obeying the ultimate throne, which is the throne of God, he was obeying those righteousnesses. Amen. Why? Because once you do that, you also disobey laws of iniquities. There's no way. Anytime you obey righteousness, you are disobeying unrighteousness. Eh? And that's why I say, man cannot serve two masters. So when you go to this one, you are against the other. When you go to this one, you are against this other person. Why? Because for now, the two laws are still within us. So he obeyed. Right? May our obedience move to love. Amen. Sometimes you obey because it's looking like you don't have a choice. But the time comes, so what drives you is love. Amen. I say the time is going to come, there's going to be a declaration and an announcement in heaven. And they will say, your day loves righteousness. Why? Because let me now tell you how these things work. The reason why God is the way he is today and he's managing the whole earth, he's managing the whole universe, he's managing all the angels, is because of that nature. It's because of that nature. And now, you will begin to appreciate more why the Lord is talking to us about this meekness thing and how you and I can start applying it. Applying it with a heart of compassion. Why? Because you can't sit on the throne if you are not compassionate. What is by your Jew? That's why there is a nature, because it's absolute power and authority. And they know that before anyone will be allowed to sit there, he must carry our nature. Say, be here yesterday, Abby. That if some of us should go and sit there, we will straight, some spirit that have never come to the earth will come. Why? Because a strange nature is sitting on ultimate power. Don't you know, some spirit visit the earth by men's work? Both good spirit and bad spirit. Go and check it in Genesis. There are certain things you never hear until some men started walking. Some spirit started invading the earth. Permission to function in the earth. Why? Because we found footstool. It means this throne can reign in the midst of men. Why? Because some men are obeying the righteousness of those thrones. Therefore, those spirits can invade the earth. Did he hear cancer in the days of Adam? Even though those guys were doing stuff, there are certain sins that were never mentioned there. Never. Why? Sins kept on multiplying because disobedience, which is another love. That thing called disobedience is not like you are reacting, no. It's a love for something else. That's why I'm too sure that in our days, some angels will visit the earth. Yeah. Why? Because once you start striking certain realms in the spirit by our obedience and our walk, some spirit will be given permission to come to the earth. And then all ministering spirits. That means there is a company. There is what is called all ministering spirit. All. It's not one, it's not two, it's not just Michael. is a company meant to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So it means by the time men are beginning to really engage with the laws of salvation, those spirits will come. They will come. That's why in those days, go and check it. Angels, nobody will hear angel come and somebody is just, oh, an angel. It was normal. I mean, in Genesis, it was normal. Angels, they know these ones are angels. Look at those bad guys that won't sleep with the angels that come see Lot. They knew they were angels. They won't do them. The one you are seeing now, you see invisible. Even by faith, I see an angel hanging here. I'm saying people know this is an angel. Why? Because during that time, the heavens and the earth kiss each other. So it wasn't difficult for celestial being to be in the midst of men. And it wasn't strange. So do you not understand why God today can manage the whole universe? If now you now, say you, they give you small power to use this throne, you first of all go and kill all the Boko Haram. And you say, I am doing it in righteousness. You first of all finish all the Boko Haram first. Is that not so? You wipe them out. And I said, they must see. If they don't see vengeance, they won't let the righteousness of God. You start misquoting. And when you are done, say, when I'm done. Those are the obvious. There are also some people you don't really like. You know, say, but this I won't kill them. But let them not make it. Jesus, pepper them small. Just 2 months. Pepper them for just 2 months. That's why you can't sit there. Why? Because the way you are wired is not wired like that. That's why that uncle, you want him to die. See, alive, oh. And sometimes in worst cases, you can have dream. And Jesus will use his face. And you notice Jesus talking to you in a dream. Using the face of your uncle that is wicked. Jesus is not seeing like you, sir. And the reason why he's not seeing like this is because of his nature. Amen. Do you know that one of the reasons why we hardly minister life to sometimes people around us is because we want to help people or minister life with our garment on? The reason why we don't minister life, it doesn't mean you don't sometimes want to help your sister, or you want to correct your sister, or you want to correct somebody, right? Or you want to encode, help somebody. The reason why that help is not efficient or is not really doing the work is because you are sending the help with your office on. So when you do it that way, you further bring the person down. That's the person that will sit on the throne will not even know he's sitting on the throne. So there is a nature that you will carry that will make you to forget your right. Now, imagine when you want to, maybe somebody did something that is not okay, and then you want to enforce it. You know, you enforce it from the angle of, what's wrong with you? Number one, with the mind of, me, I'm doing it. So, you say it with a high mind, though not high, and that also empowers you to want it to exert more. Jesus doesn't do it like that. And the reason why he doesn't carry the venom of life, but rather poison or death, is because of that mingling. Amen. Amen. That's why you can't remove. When it comes to Moses is a different breed of a prophet, right? Is a different breed of a prophet. And that's why when it comes to building, well, because when you look at all the feasts, the last feast is the feast of tabernacle. The seventh feast, amen, is the feast of tabernacle. That is God's house or the temple of God. Now, trying to look at building God's house, which is also building God's people, or building you and I. They have to equate, not just in terms of they are equal, but in terms of assignment and nature of spirit and manner. They have to single out Moses and then put him side by side with Jesus. Why? Because he was a building prophet, conscious of God's house. And then one thing said about him, unlike other prophets, amen, was that he was meek. So of all men, Moses was the meekest. So it means that it's a requirement to both build, help one another. Are we together? Is a major requirement, meekness. Without meekness, you won't give life. Without meekness, you won't give life. But Jesus was much more higher. Why? Because Moses is also part of the house. Is that not so? He's a servant in the house. But Jesus is the son over the house. That's why there are certain things that were said about Jesus. You also see the same thing also in template with Moses. So he said, I am meek and lowly. So you have to come and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Amen. Moses said, a prophet like unto me, a prophet like unto me, with the Lord God raised. So he's trying to say the manner of his raising is also in a way an eternal manner. Amen. Why? Because look at it. I was just trying to look at, there are many spirits. So there are many spirits. That's why the end, actually, the builder, the eventual builder of God's house are prophets. That's why you see this prophet being referred to, of course, you know, is not the prophet of the fivefold. Amen. That's why in most cases, people that are going to be stepping into that, they would have, in a measure, exhausted the apostolic grace. Eh? When he say, consider the apostle and what? High priest of our profession. So it means they will just lift above it. Why? Because the reason why he's a bit close to the full measure of the apostolic stature is because the apostolic grace is also a building grace. So once it's full, the overflow falls into the true prophet. And not say a prophet like unto me, the Lord God raised, and him shall he hear in all things. And to him shall he hearken. Go to Acts. Amen. Acts also talk about it. Amen. And Moses truly said unto the Father, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall he hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Continue. There's something else there. And it shall come to pass that every soul, which will not hear that prophet. So his manner was a bit different. Why? Because this is the prophet God chose and looking at the larger house. The larger house. So when you look at the two templates, it now occurred to me, amen. You know, when Pastor Uta was teaching this morning, it just occurred to me that actually the work, the first forerunner that goes to herald the coming of the Lord, not the Lord as Christ, is always Elijah. Elijah, if you come back, Elijah is not Elisha. Eh? That's why they didn't use the person that appeared at the morning. No, it wasn't Elijah. It's Elijah. Elijah. Eh? He was caught up. He's a strong spirit of burning. Eh? Elijah is a flame. Elijah burns. Now, amen. Elijah born. Eh? He burns to clear the way. He burns to clear the way. So actually, the true ministry, and I think Daddy said that thing, and I remember the first time Daddy said it,
I said, wow, wow. He said, the message of the covenant that came into the sanctuary, he actually came to finish the work of John the Baptist. Why? Because actually, the work of John the Baptist is to make the soul meek. So now, the crooked way, both the valley, the mountain, is to make you weak. So truly, 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 what John the Baptist did is Christ's formation. Oh, you didn't get that. It's Christ. He built Christ to a measure. John the Baptist built Christ to a measure. He built Christ. So the way of peace, actually, when you say peace, peace is life in rest. Life in rest, peace, is full Christ. So the voice cry in the wilderness, or you also know that wilderness is Christ, right? And I think that should make sense to us. I don't understand why the Lord now said, of all men born of a woman, none is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because John the Baptist laid a foundation that will be relevant in the world to come. He started building Christ. And no prophet beat Christ. No prophet. The man of Moses was different in patterns, not in laying. Not in laying. John the Baptist started laying it. He started laying it. So Jesus came. Amen. Amen. So when he now said, he now said, hey guys, why did you go to the wilderness to look at? He said, more than the prophet. He said, more than the prophet. He tried to say, it's not like the prophet you know. It's a voice. Like I am a voice. So prophets are gauged in the spirit, but they are work vis-a-vis eternal patterns in reality. So what when you are to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, much more than a prophet. Much more than a prophet. Now, that's where you now see, eventually when those two guys, got to the mount, they have to show those two spirits. They are very vital. They are very vital to show that these two spirits are very important, but now they are all in Christ. Moses and Elijah. To mean first, he that will prepare the way and he that will build the house. Now, he now said, now, listen, you don't need to make three now. Hear ye him. In him is the completeness. But for the Lord to have used these two icons, it speaks volume. So when you now go back to Isaiah, amen. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah 40, amen. Yeah, Apostle read this. He said, comfort ye, my people, says your God. Continue, please. I speak you comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, thy iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand, see that Lord, hands double for all her sins. Continue, please. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. So that's the first encounter. You have to encounter the voice of Christ. So they have to lead your soul to the wilderness to humble it. So they start teaching you other principle. Why? Because you've gained height. Let me tell you, plus height. Those that are on the mountain. You know, some of you are on the mountain. Some people are naturally very proud. And some, valley, very low esteem. They don't see anything good in themselves. Even when you say you are beautiful, you are trying to shock them. They don't see anything good because of abuse. There'll be so much abuse that they don't see anything good. Some are never straight. They will never tell you a story straight. Never. Very crooked. They are never, is a nature. Some are rough. There's no way they will pass by you. They won't brush you. Powerful sandpaper. You know, some papers there is guest scourge. It's not the person. Now, nature. na nature. Eh? So prepare ye, and we all fall one way or the other. Some of us, we have both high and low. Some of us, we go crooked. Once I pack in here, packaging. I remember in those days, we use the word full package, full package. Eh? Some get valley, some get a bit of valley, a bit of mountain, a bit of rough places. Right? Now, what he is coming to do, no minding your background, whether you are from a rich home, poor home, you don't like your papa, you don't like your mama, eh? Jesus no care. He wants to make you a new man. Your background does not matter. You don't have any advantage. You are not also disadvantaged. The only advantage is getting this Christ. So by this, he equated all men. Broken the middle of partition. He just removed it. Equated every man. So what he's saying is that by the time you submit to the workings of Christ, Moses could not touch heart. In fact, at some point you have to write a letter of divorcement. He said, in the beginning it was not so. But because of the hardness of your heart, I have to permit Moses to give you a letter of divorcement. But in the beginning, it was not so. But this guy called John, he was stony heart. In fact, he looked at them, brood of vipers. Did them all carry something? Moses was even being careful. When he said, these thy people, eh? Now maybe the insult. But this one said, brood of vipers. Yeah, those guys didn't say, kilo shenwe. Please baptize us. He was turning. He had the water that was washing the first layer of the heart. First skin. They needed to cut the first skin. The first skin of the heart needed to be removed. So John was empowered to remove the first skin. Why? Because first skin does not allow the cut to be touched. Is a veil. Eh? That's why mothers, please, all my little children, make sure you circumcise them early. May no wait until they grow well. So when Christ's formation is meant to be done, please, do it quickly. Don't wax too strong under the message. When it's time to do, you will feel the pain more. Why? Because you have waxed strong in flesh. You are aware of pain more. While you are still innocent, let them do that call quickly.
Mercy upon you, mercy, my people. Mercy upon you, mercy, my people. Me bring you mercy, I bring a lot of mercy for to show you another man. I come shedding to you a measure of mercy. I come bringing upon you all portions of mercy.
Amen.
I come shedding upon everyone here measures of my mercy. I heard your cry when you prayed today, and that is why I am come to show you mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
I was sent from the Most Holy to come and open unto you this door of mercy. I was sent here by your Father to come and show you this door of mercy. It is a door of mercy. I was sent here to move you through this door of mercy. I was sent here to carry every one of you through this door of mercy. Jesus. I am come to apportion strength to feet.
Amen.
I am come to apportion grace to heart.
Amen.
I am come to give sight to the blind.
Amen.
I am come to wash you clean.
Amen.
I am come to give grace.
Amen.
I am sent from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness. I am come, I am come, I am come, even for to show you, even for to teach you how that you may pattern your life according to that which you have seen. See the angel, we stand in the midst of the church.
Thank you so, Prophet. Let's pray. Prosha, 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 prosha. Prosha, kete prosh, prosha, 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 kete shopa prosh, prosh, prosha, neke prosh, e preshi ka prosh, ka prati prosh, preshina prosh, ke prete la prosh, prosh, te prata prosta, prosh, meni a prosh, eni kre prosh, ke prate a prosh, ikete frona prosh, ke panika prosta, priya na kapa shina prosh, prosh librete na mai.
Thank you, Lord. I perceive the Lord is trying to draw us closer. Yeah, there is a nearness. The Lord wants to draw us closer. Now, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So God can't come until the highway is made. So the reason for the voice is to prepare the way for the Father. And the Father can't pull you in until you are meek. Why? Because the Father needs that fleshy heart to write upon. He needs material to work with. So it will take a heart that has been made flesh to work with the Father. Now, in answer, make straight in the desert. So you have to be in the desert to make you straight. A highway for our God. In answer, what they are going to do there in the desert, who is also in the wilderness, or the school of Christ. Christ's school. So it's also the same thing. He said, no, you can't learn me. For you to learn me, you must be meek. There is a gospel for the meek. That's why the Spirit of the Lord God can only walk on one that is meek. So the first portion he gave is the Spirit, amen, of Christ that we can see in Luke, amen. Let's look at the two places, amen. Now look at it. The Spirit of the Lord, amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's the first portion. The reason for this Spirit is to raise a meek man. So, when all these workings are done, which is the Spirit of Christ, is to make you meek. When you are done being made meek, go to Isaiah. Where this thing sorts out from. Only that Jesus have to apportion it in two phases. Amen. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. Now, it's not the same gospel. There is a gospel called good tidings reserved for the meek. So learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, is for this gospel. Why? Because it is actually this gospel that will give rest to your soul. So, the reason for the emphasis is the Lord wants us to enter through that door called the door of meekness. All of us must be led through it. Amen. Why? Because it's not just a wide door. It's a narrow gate. A narrow gate that imposes how you should form or how you should look like to pass through. like the eye of the needle. So the reason for the camel is to beat the camel or beat flesh to spirit. Amen. So that you can pass through the eye of the needle. So passing through the eye of the needle, you would have turned to something else. By saying you move through the eye of the needle. Then the Father can take you up from there and start walking. Go back to Isaiah. Good. So that's what I'm saying. You can't receive that gospel meant for the meek. Those are the dealings there are tougher than the dealings in Christ. But there is a template of heart you need to have to comply with the workings. So the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. So at the end of the day, they will level up. So that thing called level up, amen, is the foundation. Is the foundation. That's why when you want to lay foundation, you lay foundation on the plane. So if the place has value, you need to fill it up. If it has the Abby, architect, what do? You have to look, you must make it. That's the first foundation, Christ. So once that is done, that means that thing called first foundation is meekness. So God can now come back and on that one lay a sure foundation. Well, because it will take sure foundation to carry eternal life. Let me now say this. Since you will see the bigger picture, and I'm too sure, I'm already perceiving that door is already closing. Right? That door is already closing. And I'm sure, and I perceive, very soon we'll dovetail more into this prophet. But this thing that has been said, the workings have been set loose in motion. What I'm saying to you and I is that whatever it is now, let go of your right. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Fulfill all righteousness. Allow it to be. Allow it to be. Allow it to be. Just keep allowing it. Allow it. Allow it. Allow it. Just allow it. Then let's now come back to this place. Amen. Let's go to two places. Okay. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I read from verse 1 very quickly. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came where? Unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Number one, I'm sure the Lord drew my attention to this. I just want to say it. Amen. If some of us already are aware, it's also good that you are aware of certain things by understanding, so that by the time people ask you, you will not use agidi to answer. You will answer by light with meekness. Amen. I'm too sure for some of us, probably that are not part of these waters, and then probably you find it strange when you see some of our parents sit down to preach. Okay? Sitting down to preach. Sometimes the two can disturb you a little bit because you are not used to ministers sitting down to preach. Are we together? But when you go through the scriptures, you will discover that those patterns are there in the spirit. This is not the only place. Even at the mount, he went up, he sat down, and he taught. Here too, he sat down and he taught. Are we together? So please let that settle in our heart properly. Okay? Even in some of the epistles, okay? But there's also a place they said, Paul sat down and taught. Are we together? So it's not, it's scriptural. Okay? So that's just by the way. Amen. So, now, look at this place. Let me use this so that it will sit well. Because sometimes we use it. But, okay. Galatians chapter 6. Amen. Galatians chapter 6. Why? Because the issue of washing one another, there's also a man of washing. Amen. Because all these activities mentioned now is going to be happening in many ways. With your sister, with your brother, with your wife,
with your husband, with people around you, right? That's the way we will be using it. But there is a manner. There is an administration. There is a way to use it. So that at the end of the day, you are truly washing and not scratching the skin. You know, there's this kenke. Hey! Oh my goodness. How many of you explain it? That, hey! Choo, 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 choo. The thing is, they call that thing kenke. If they handle you and wash you with it, is it wood or what is it? It's from coconut. It's a plant. It's a plant, Abby. Honestly, when they are done washing with that thing, it will be like they gave you another skin. It's no good on the body. Oh. Thank God for another kenke. Amen. Why? Because there is a spirit I want us to have. And I can tell that spirit is already upon us. You will discover that going forward, the things you are complaining about your sister, your brother, if you cooperate with this, those things will fall off. Yes. They will fall off. It's just that the way we are using it, we are not using it well. Now, look at this. Brethren, if a man be what? Be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual. Or mature, or as it were, you have an advantage in that matter, or you have a strength. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Number one, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Let me explain it. Most times, when you want to restore, you restore with an edge. To me, I know this thing. I do it better than you. Are you not supposed to be doing it this way? No. 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 By doing so, you are not restoring your brethren. You are not. You are exacting over them. The truth is, they may end up doing it, but you didn't restore them. And that's why that same issue can reoccur over and over and over. And in most cases, he ends up in offense. Now, what the scripture is saying here, which is a law of one applying the principle of meekness, is that number one, when you want to restore short a one, considering thyself, it means you have to come down. Come down, number one, and then identify with the person. Restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Okay? Bear ye one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay? Now, look at it, verse 3. If a man think himself to be something, now, is that something you must not use while restoring? Now, because if you use that something while restoring, you won't restore the person. You won't restore the person. And you may likely be very harsh. Because you are speaking from a realm of right. Now let me tell you how, you see, when you are dealing with people, natures are supervised by spirits. And there is a way to disengage souls from spirits. Let me tell you, most spirits bow down before meekness. That's why even Satan fears a humble man. Satan himself fears a man that is humble. Satan. Now, see how Jesus applied these things. I'm going to show it to you. How he applied these things. Jesus actually, see all this you see in the epistles are the laws that Jesus used. He used them. Only that sometimes when we go through some of the experiences in the scriptures, we just look at the story around it. We don't see the wisdom and the spirit. Is this same thing Jesus used for the woman that was caught in the very act? Now, when the Pharisees came out, come on, God, tell you, everybody picked stone, right? Yeah. Do you know what that thing that Jesus did when he saw her? That thing was stooping down. Do you know what he did? He let go of his authority. It means he wanted to restore her. Considering thyself, are you trying to say Jesus is going to fall? No, he's teaching us something. It means that if I want to address this issue from my position, I won't restore her. So that thing of stooping down, it means he removed his garments. So the principle of washing one another, we can't do it well with our garment on. Your garment is your strength. Your garment is your advantage. Your garment is your glory. Your garment is your placement. So from the angle of your garment, while addressing it, you won't help the person. Now, you now check. When you check most of the time, when you correct issues, from which way do you correct it? Check all the correction you ever made. It's always from the angle of superiority. Now, it doesn't remove the fact that you already something, but don't use it to pull the other person up. You can't have the garment on. Why? Because you have to lower yourself, and for you to lower yourself, you must put off your garment. Now, look at this place. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. In the very act, we caught her. No big story, we caught her. Eh? So they were watching. What will you do? Because these people were already set to kill this woman. So most times, when we catch people, we don't restore them, we kill them. Because of the way we go about it, they all had stones. But Jesus looked at the whole situation. He knew that no, this, they said, tempting him that he might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down. So that stooping down, is also the same thing with Jesus in John 13. And Jesus removed his garment and took a towel and to wash the feet of the disciples. So he had to stoop down. Why? Because he understands sin. He understands the workings of sin. How sin work. Most times sin multiply more if you don't handle it well. That's the same thing you said. You've been caught. The more you caught, the person is getting worse. Why? Because you are not skillful. So, see it. Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him be first to cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. They which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus has lifted up himself, saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, Woman, where are those thy accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, No, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. So in most cases, we don't restore, we condemn. And what turns into condemnation is because we don't stoop low. So you can see that principle there. If any man is overtaken in a fault, ye that is spiritual, restore such a one with the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. So, you see it also here. He riseth up from supper and lay aside his garment. One of the reasons why restoring doesn't work, or washing does not make clean, or we don't wash very well, or washing is not being received. Amen. It's because the washing is done with our garment on. So from now, we will wash with our garment off. So when the man is shouting at his wife, don't you know I'm the head of this house? There's already a problem. Because you want to exert authority to get what you want. By your conversation as a servant, she should see it. Any man that says that to his wife to get what he wants is a big problem. Why? Because you must put on a conversation that by itself speaks for your placement. So after he poured water in the basin, what did he do? He first of all put aside his garment and took a towel. You can't take towel if you don't bow down. He has to stoop. And then you could wash the feet. That means there is a manner of washing feet. And from today, we'll imbibe this culture. Amen. At every level, the Lord will help us. Amen. That sister, that brother you'll be having issues with, please start applying this. And watch in the next few weeks, in the next few months, those things will go. There are things you do that can prick the conscience of the person you did it to. Sometimes our manner strengthens sin. Imagine when it was done. Have you heard again Mary going back to those things? The woman was a professional, but she met a correct man. She met a man that didn't condemn her. And then minister strength to her. See the beauty that came out of this woman because of handling. Let's bow our head. We're a community. It means we are relational. We are relational. We flock together. We live together. And we also wash ourselves. We are asking the Lord, even this afternoon by his mercies, that the Lord will help us. The Lord will grant us grace. I'm also learning this thing afresh again. That going forward, things you see in your brother, you see in your sister, you will not talk about it from the angle of condemnation. And that's why there's no way you can develop this principle. You won't be compassionate. Because eventually, God wants to make you a savior. Imagine a savior without compassion. Without compassion. How will you have compassion on the ignorant? And for those that are out of the way, how will it strengthen your brother? How will it strengthen your sister? How will it strengthen those around you? We need this so that our word can be seasoned with salt. Administering grace to the hearer. It means anytime you open your mouth, it is life. Anytime you open your mouth, it is life. Anytime you open your mouth, it is life. Even when you correct, it's still life. Why? Because there is a nature. There is a nature. There is a spirit. The Lord said he wants to smell a smell of meekness in our midst. Smelling everywhere. Smelling everywhere. Smelling everywhere. We ask the Lord for mercy. Not only that, even the way we also talk, the way we officiate. Maybe you are asked to do something, or you are asked to pray, you are asked to preach, or you are asked to do something. That manner is important. It's important. Rekala novana segredo. Fekiliana kambo zampro seberena into. Rekele broshi banti yande.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Full assurance of understanding. Full assurance of understanding. I came to give full assurance of understanding for you to see that these things can be done. That these things can be done. Let not your heart be weary. Oh, let your heart be strengthened even by these words. That which I have proclaimed, I'm able to perform in you. I'm able to do it in you, even unto my coming. Yes, so do these things. These words are a preparation of heart, even for my coming. And these words have come to purify your heart. These words have come to sanctify your heart, because I will come. He that will come will come. So prepare your hearts, even as a temple, even as a living sacrifice, that I can come and dwell in. And in the days of your flesh, you will exhibit this life that I lived. For I came to show you even the life I lived. I came to show you how I fulfilled prophecy. Yea, it was by this same law. It was by this same law of meekness. So I show you again how. And indeed I will come. So prepare your hearts, for these words have come to prepare you. Amen.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.